All right, we're into our next week in this new series called Experience Connection, Discovering Jesus in the Midst of All Living. I have the privilege of introducing our guest speaker today. Many of you have heard of Level Ground Coffee. You'll see it on any grocery store that you go to in town or here on the island. They're an excellent coffee roasting, tea providing company, originated in the late 90s. It's based out of Victoria. This year, Stacy Taves and his company were named the Vancouver Island Food and Agriculture Business of the Year. I think that's fantastic. Congratulations. I first met Stacy over 10 years ago when a mutual friend brought me through his facility for a tour, and it was just fascinating to see how they do business. In the last 5 years, Stacy and I, with mutual friends, have bumped into each other a lot more fishing somewhere out in the backcountry together. And about a couple years ago, he and I were the first two to show out at a campsite way out in the deep bush somewhere, waiting for our friends who got hung up. We didn't know. There's no reception out there. So we waited for hours into the night for our friends to show up, sat around a campfire together. It was the first time that we were able to talk deeply and exchange stories. And what I heard from his life added to all of the inspiration and respect I already had for him. The way that he integrates faith, not just into business, but all aspects of his life, is truly an example, I think, for anyone to look to. I consider it a privilege to call Stacy a friend. The way that he loves and cares for and commits to his family is remarkable. The way that he gets his fingers into the earth, does gardening stuff, does all things outdoor, is truly fascinating to me. And so today, I wonder if you would open your heart to God's word and join me in welcoming to our stage my friend, Stacy Taves.
Thanks, Mike. I feel like any time I get to be outside, I get to be more alive than any time I'd ever be inside. It's always exciting for me, and I don't know how you normally jump into the day. This morning, being someone who lives near Victoria, but knowing that by 8:30 I was supposed to be here, I jumped into the day a little earlier than usual. And what I found over time is that so much of my life experience with Jesus relates to those times when I'm outdoors. There's a big difference between walking on the beach with your boots on, walking on the beach with your sandals on, versus walking on the beach barefoot. Every level of closer proximity connecting to creation creates opportunity. I have this ritual. I have a lot of them, but one that's part of my day starting, no different than any other day today. I walk out of our house early, set down freshly made coffee by my hot tub, and then it was about 3 degrees, 4 degrees, hop in my pond. And I did it every day this year, except for when the ice was too thick and I couldn't break through it. It's a good way to start the day. And then as I sidle into my hot tub with that coffee, I start out with the words from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. And as the sun comes up, I get excited about what it is that God wants to do in my life. This morning as I drove here, I had so much opportunity to hear from God what he wants to do in our community here. My first time, but I consider it our community because I'm from another great church in Victoria area called Life Tree. And I sense so much that God wants to do in the way of healing and ministry and caring for you in the places where you are, but I'll get into that a little more later. What I want to do this morning is experience with you a conversation about connecting with God through creation. And I'll just give you an example of some experiences, some scriptures, and some ways that'll hopefully draw you deeper in and find more practice and opportunity to connect with God through creation. This is from a year ago. I had the hip waders on, and I was all alone in a river. Bit of a gentle bend, trees coming over the water, and I was fishing that river, and I'd been in that space a year prior, my first time ever catching fish on a fly rod rather than a casting rod, so it was a place of expectation. And I was all alone, no bears to be seen, and I was looking for that first bite of the day. The river was moving so slow as I was waist deep in the water standing in this bend that as each leaf was breaking off the maple tree overhead, because it was fall and they'd all turned colors, as each leaf was breaking free from the maple tree, I could hear when it touched the water surface, just this kiss of a leaf on the water. And I was standing there casting, I was hearing the odd leaf drop, and I remember looking downstream and saying to the Lord, "This is just so good. I bet you couldn't make it better than this." And he said, "Oh yeah?" And 100 meters downstream from my left, a bull elk came out of the bush, walked into the center of the river, and stopped, and just looked at me, more like looked at me, started to drink, no hurry, and after a minute or two of watching each other, he cruised off into the bush on the other side, and I was like, okay, you could make it better than that. And my sense is that every time that I find a way to almost welcome, maybe you could say dare God, to show off in my life, he's like, oh yeah, I'd love to. And I'm basically asking you this morning, how hungry are you? How much do you want that connection? Because my sense is that in creation, we are very graced on the island to have opportunity to connect with God through creation in ways that many others might be envious. There's a passage early in the Word in Genesis chapter 3. The garden has just been created, and if you ever take time to study Genesis 1 and 2, you realize that once God has created and he's done creating, the first thing he does with creation is he makes a garden. It's the first thing he does. It says in Genesis 3, 8, and 9, "The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God." You know what probably came before this. They had just eaten from a tree they weren't to. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And my experience in creation and throughout life, hopefully, is similar to yours and theirs. And it is at our worst, at the times when we've broken trust, when we've broken faith, when we've walked away from what was offered to walk towards, God comes looking for us. Because God's desire has always been for connection with us. About a week ago, a young man whose parents have broken up, who wanted some mentoring in his life, had arranged to meet with me, and I took time early in the morning before going to meet with him, and I asked God many questions. What do you want me to ask him? What do you want me to hear from him? What do you say about him? What should I offer? And what I've learned as I've grown in my faith is that if I'm willing to sit down and ask God questions, he will always answer. And he gave me so much guidance and so much specific clarity about someone whose life I have no knowledge on. And when we got together that morning and he hopped in my vehicle and he started to pour out his heart, he says, "What do you have for me?" This is what the young man said. And I showed him my journal. I said, "These are all the questions I asked God this morning. And these are the things he said." He said, "What?" And I said, "I think what really stands out to me is that God is saying that he sees you as righteous and there's no condemnation for you." What I didn't know was his struggles. What I didn't know was how condemned he felt about some of the things he's failing at in life. And what God's first word in connection to him was, "My forgiveness is greater than your sinfulness. You're in the garden hiding, and he's coming for you saying, 'I want to connect. I want to know you better, even more than you want to know me.'" Hearing the announcement this morning about what's cooking and looking back at Easter and looking ahead to summer, it was a challenge to me this week reading in Ecclesiastes, the words from Ecclesiastes 12:1, "Remember your creator in the days of your youth." It's a warning to the younger generation. Remember your creator in the days of youth. It's hard to find your way back if you don't remember him early. I was looking at some of the teachings that some different church disciplines would use that I didn't grow up with, like the Westminster Catechism. How many of you have ever heard of the Westminster Catechism? A few. And in there, people are often trained in questions and answers to learn about the biggest and most important matters of theology. And the question, one of them in there is, what is the chief end of man? In our day's English, it would be, what matters most for people? And the answer is meant to be to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It's the most ultimate experience we could ever have in our human purpose, to have fellowship with him. And knowing that and knowing how God continually reaches out to us and wants to connect with us, many people would say that the Bible kind of falls into two sections. And there's some defaults in our minds maybe right away when we hear the Bible falls into two sections. But most theologians, when they look at it, go, the first section is Genesis 1 and 2. And the second section is everything after that. Because really, this is the way God meant it. And this is God now working on getting it back to the way he meant it to be. He wants that connection. If there's anything I would want us to hear this morning, it's that we would be able to put a hand on our own heart and say, God wants to connect with me. Would you say that with me? God wants to connect with me. And when we're at what we think might be our worst, our lowest, our weakest, God is saying, I've got a plan, and just like those words to Lucy, it's not forever, and this is going to end. It's pretty amazing because I've gotten to be part of the story at different junctures along the way, usually alongside a river while Mike talks about his family with me, and to see Lucy with my own eyes for the first time this morning and go, there's the one who carries the story. God wants to connect with Lucy just like he wants to connect with you. And he has a word for you. So we're image bearers. No one else on the planet but people carries the image of God. And he wants to connect with his image bearers. And while God references us alone as people as the bearers of his image, made to be like him in so many ways, then in the Psalms, God describes all that's been made as either the work of his fingers or the work of his hands. Psalm chapter 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the earth. You made your glory higher than the heavens. When I look up at your skies, at what your fingers made, the moon, the stars, you set them firmly in place. What are human beings that you think about us? What are human beings that you pay attention to us? It is amazing, right? When you're out under the stars, or you're walking along the beach and you see the magnitude of it all, and he goes, you really want to connect with me. You made us rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under our feet. I met with a buddy this last week named Dave. Dave has this awesome boat, bigger than most people's houses. And this last week, he and his wife took out a few friends who have no day-to-day walk or relationship with Jesus that they know of, I'll say yet. And they went to a place, Dave said, that the week they were there, no one else was, and they spent 7 days on their boat in Princess Louisa Inlet. Some of you have heard of it. Apparently, it's ridiculous. I saw photos. He said there were waterfalls there that were over 50 feet across. I think it was called Chatterbox Falls, and sheer cliffs. And they were the only boat moored in the inlet. And he said each of the days they were there as they wrapped up the day, and he started to cry when he said it, Dave said, we were so humbled by being where we were that the people we brought on the boat ride asked if we could hold hands and pray and thank God for creation. He said, Stace, it was amazing because they could see it. They weren't confused. They could see that God was worthy of their attention and their affection and their praise. And in being where they were, there was this newfound awareness that God had made all things and it was beautiful. Those moments are so memorable. I've been reading a book recently called Windows on the Soul, written by Ken Geyer. And there's many reflections and meditations that are related to connecting with Jesus. And some of them relate specifically to connecting with Jesus in creation. But one of the phrases that Ken uses in his book that I love, he says, "Earth is crammed with heaven." And so when we say on earth as it is in heaven in our prayers, really whatever God is wanting and wishing, he's in many ways kind of tantalizing us and just giving us tasters of what it's going to be like in heaven. One of the things that I aspire to in my life is that each November, December, I build spreadsheets for the coming year. I have all these targets and goals that God's given me to work towards amidst my life purpose, and I set targets and goals in relation to my family. They're actually built all around relationships. Relation with my family, my children, my wife, my parents, relation in my church community and in my neighborhood, in relationship to my physical health, it goes on and on. But in specific with regards to my family, what I started to learn and distill as I looked at it is that what I was really seeking, what we're all really seeking, is a connection. And so one of the things in my spreadsheet with each of my four kids' names is how will I connect? And each Sunday night as I wrap up my week, I look back on the week and I look at how I did in all the areas of my targets. So in relation to my family, I look at how did I connect with my eldest and my next and my next? How did I connect with my wife? And the goal is for a heart connection. And when you start to think about if there's someone you're sitting beside today or something you're thinking about who you deeply want to be closer to, what would you do? How would you curate experiences so that you would want to connect, that you'd want to be closer, and that you could, as I do at the end of a week, look back and go, how well did I show up in my efforts to connect? Boy, I can tell you a lot of the ways in which I don't connect, a lot of the ways in which I'm miserably weak at connecting. When the ultimate connection that we can witness in Scripture is Jesus on earth going away to spend time with the Father, we learn a lot. And whenever we read the gospel writers observing Jesus, what does he do to connect with his Father? He goes away. He always removes himself from the cacophony of whatever's going on in the day-to-day, and he goes away to a quiet place. And this year, when I was setting my targets for how I would posture myself, how I phrased that was, I'm going to slow down and I'm going to lean in. Slow down is about my pace because everyone gets terrible at what they do when they're busy. And you have the ability to realize your potential when you slow down. And by lean in, I'm distinctively acknowledging that when I often listen to people, I'm prone to judge and criticize or evaluate rather than truly listen. And when I'm doing that, I call it digging in. Digging in is like I'm already resisting right away. Leaning in goes, could you tell me more? I'm now going to ask questions that don't have yes or no answers attached to them. I'm not going to try to steer you with your information. I'm going to openly try to hear from you what you want to tell me. And what I've learned, you might have as well, is that when I slow down and I lean in, people are willing to share. As one mentor I follow says, you can't expect stage three relationships with stage one questions. And so over the years, I've tried to find ways to connect weekly at a heart level with each of my kids. And it's easy when they're four and you can put them in the car seat and drive them to Dairy Queen for 30 minutes. But when they're 25 and they've got a degree and a busy life, you've got to be really a specialist at figuring this out. And if it's not working, then I go, well, how am I going to regroup and rethink this? And in the same way, if you wanted to meet with Jesus, what would you do? And the first thing I realized this last year is I had to put it in my calendar. How many of you actually put an entry in your calendar to say, I'm going to meet with Jesus? That's a challenge. Many people will pencil in a meeting for business. Sometimes they'll pencil in a meeting for a loved one. And then we tell ourselves and others that Jesus is the greatest, most meaningful relationship in our life. And I go, could you show me in your calendar where you're scheduling to meet with him? It's like, oh, well, that's an opportunity to maybe shift things a little bit. I could actually plan to meet with Jesus. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. But if we're not getting away from the noise and slowing down, it'll be very hard to do it. I took some time in getting ready to be here today to think about some of those experiences in nature and creation around me that really have mesmerized me. This last year, and Mike brought up the topic of fishing, getting out in a river, getting out in the forest, of course, is incredible. It wasn't until after I'd concluded this last season of fishing that I realized, looking back through my photos, I was like, oh, my friends have told me about this. I wasn't even pursuing it, but it happened. I caught all 5 species of salmon this year. And I'd been in the closing days of the season, and I was actually on the same river as Mike that day. And I was fishing for chum, and it was kind of late season, and they weren't looking too pretty. And I had a buddy of ours nearby, and he knows way more about fishing than I'll ever know. And I cast into a pool of what I thought was chum, and something hit my line, and it wasn't a chum. It was like a Russian gymnast on steroids. It was so exciting. And I screamed over to my buddy, "This isn't a chum!" And I caught a coho, and it was incredible, both in the catching and the eating. That was an experience this last season where just time and again, river after place, after friendship, after experience, there was this opportunity to connect with what Jesus was doing in my life. How many of you have ever in your life had an opportunity to be in a beehive with or as a beekeeper? Anybody? A few of you? A couple? Oh my goodness. When I started to get into beekeeping, it blew my mind. And I remember the first time when I was alone, without my mentor, in my own hives, had my suit zipped up. I'm anaphylactic when I get stung by bees, so it adds a level of adrenaline, perhaps. And the sun was coming in over my right shoulder, and I pulled a frame out of my hive, and I held it up, and it had every single thing that a beekeeper would want to see in a hive at once. It had every age of babies, from ones that were capped to fresh brood that was emerging. There were workers walking around with pollen all over their bodies, and the queen was right in the middle, and they were all working around her, and there was honey dripping off the bottom of the frame, and the sun's coming in over my eyes, and I'm holding the frame, and I just burst into tears. I'm like, how does God put this all together? When you start to study the flight patterns of worker bees and how they report back to the hive where they found foods so that their sisters can go and find food in the same place, it's mesmerizing. My wife and I, this last week, we celebrated 33 years. And actually, last night, we got back from Tofino, and then this morning, I came here. And we were walking a boardwalk near Cox Bay the other day, and along this boardwalk, some people have chosen to donate money to preservation and building of the boardwalk, and they put some message of their choice onto one plank in the boardwalk. And most everyone's message that had been engraved, I think, with a router onto these planks would be some milestone in their family. It's like, we've been camping here since 73. That was memorable. Birthdays, a lot of wedding dates, anniversaries. And then one family had chosen to simply have put on "All Creation Sings." And I was like, ooh, that's a good one. I've never been into birding until this year. My wife read online that Cornell University developed a free-of-charge downloadable app called Merlin. Has anyone got Merlin? Yes. Oh my goodness. The first day I turned it on, I was in our backyard, and I pop it on, and it listens for the sounds of birds in your area. And then it shows you a photo of the bird as it calls, and then another bird, and then another bird. And when the first one calls, that one lights up again. And all of a sudden, I had 9 birds on my screen at once. And all of a sudden, I'm semi-intelligent about birds, and I've always felt like a doofus. I got my parents a bird feeder that has a camera on it that identifies bird species. My dad can't get up much anymore, but he can sit on an iPad 20 feet from the bird feeder outside, and he can see a close-up on the iPad of the bird that's at the feeder, and he's like, 15 different species of birds came to our feeder today. My first year intro to theology book was written by a theologian, John Stott. He has books on birding and how his walk and relationship with God heightened as soon as he started to learn about birds. There's so much that leads us into relationship and connection with God when we look around us. One of my loves is gardening. And this last spring, one of my friends came over, and she's never gardened much before. Her husband, who's a buddy of mine, gardens often, but she'd never really gotten out in the soil before. And she says, "Could you help me with some seeds?" And I said, Oh yeah, I've got this big rolling cabinet with drawers for herbs and for flowers and for vegetables. And she's like, "Where do you get all these seeds?" And I just save them. She's like, "How do you save seeds?" She'd never thought about saving seeds before. And when I started to explain to her the seeds that we have and the seeds that I save, because I grow about 100 different types of plants each year, she was like, "So you just do that and do this and you get the seed?" She's like, "Never thought about that." And this is a woman who's a highly awarded nurse, lots of education, but she'd never leaned into seeds before. But that for her just popped when she started to realize it. Romans chapter 1 says, "What may be known about God is plain to us. What may be known about God is plain to us because God has made it plain to us." And the question might be, how? Why? A person could ask. Paul says, "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, both his eternal power and his divine nature, are clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." We can't make people believe. I can't make you get excited about God if you're not excited about God. But he tells us very clearly that once your eyes are open and you see his power and his nature, you'll understand. Holding a newborn baby. My oldest three are adopted, and so for the first three, I didn't get to see them being born. But when our fourth came into the world, I was there when he was born. That was nuts. Getting to see this tiny little burping human making all these little noises and facial contortions, just going, there's nothing in me that goes, people are amazing nearly as much as God's amazing in that moment. We have a saying, our mission statement at Life Tree Church, which is my home church. We say we're a family all about practicing and proclaiming the way of Jesus together to transform lives and to bless our city. And this last week, one of our friends in our congregation who's been a YWAM leader all over the world was teaching and sharing, and he was specifically talking about connecting with God through creating whole bodies, sound minds. Basically, when God heals and restores people to how they were meant to be, everything in us lights up because we go, that's the way it's supposed to be. And he shared story after story to our congregation, and you could feel if it was a thermometer or a barometer, just the faith level rising, perhaps as it would for you this morning when Mike shared about Lucy. Just like, oh my goodness, God can speak to a child in a dream. He can make a bone that's bent straight. Even while I was driving here this morning, God said to me that in this congregation, God wants to heal someone of epilepsy. I was just like, I don't know where that came from, but God wants to do something in people's lives and bodies. And as my friend at our church at Lifetree last week shared stories of legs made straight and whole villages turning to Jesus as they saw knees that were broken, healed and restored, it raised that faith level. And people came forward in our congregation asking for prayer. And I saw a woman named Shirley with arthritis whose arm was completely bound like this at the end of the day, just praising the Lord with her hands upraised. Another young man who had bones protruding out of his shoulder, sticking through his shirt. I prayed for him and saw things shift so powerfully in his body, but there were things in his spirit that God wanted to work on too. I called him up 2 days later and said, "How's the arm? How's the shoulder? How's the mobility?" He's like, "Dude, I was just doing push-ups." He was like so excited about what God was doing in his life. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God and the skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak." Even when you're not listening, even when I'm not hearing, they continue to speak. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message goes out through the earth. You know, there's a place where Jeremiah gets so frustrated with the people of Israel. He says, how can you hear but not listen? How can you see but not perceive? And this opportunity to connect is so powerful. It struck me this last week that in the Gospels, Matthew makes a point that with the big star that was shining when Jesus was born, there was only a small group of people who came from a long ways away who knew what was up. But they'd been looking at the stars and they say, something happened, God's on the move, there's an opportunity to connect. Because they were attentive. As that author Ken Geyer I referenced earlier said, if God created the world with words that went forth from his mouth, words like, let there be light, it follows that the sun and the moon and the stars are echoes of those words. If we look with the right eyes, listen with the right ears, we'll understand the natural creation as a form of sign language. For our anniversary this last week in Ucluelet, my wife chose a restaurant that we can afford once every 33 years. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this restaurant. It's called Pluvio. I had no idea what Pluvio meant, but that was written on the menu. Short for pluviophile, someone who loves the rain. Ucluelet, it makes sense, right? And we got, of the 9 seats in the restaurant, the seat at the counter overlooking the kitchen. The chef was this far away from me as he called out what was coming in as orders to the whole crew in the kitchen. He didn't speak loud. It's a small space. It wasn't like TV show yelling and drama. But each time he would say, fire 1 link cod, sear 1 order of scallop, put out 2 halibut, there would come at the same time from everyone else in the kitchen, heard, heard. He would say it quietly, heard. It was so cool to just think about how God speaks and we hear. Someone who's orchestrating the dance says, this is how it's going to be. And we simply respond and say, heard. As takeaways this morning, what I want to suggest to you is 3 things. I'll call it hunger, habits, and homies. Can you say it with me? Hunger, habits, and homies. Hunger is a lot like humility in our relationship with God. It's a key to getting close. When our appetite gets fired up and we want to get closer to God, we're willing to put it in our calendar. We're willing to put it in our targets. We're going to say, I choose to meet with Jesus. He honors that hunger. He honors that desire. Just like he said, seek first the kingdom of God. Want him above everything else. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us what? The desires of our heart. Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. And the psalmist goes on to say, when can I meet with God? And so when that hunger starts to evolve in our lives, we start to realize what we feed is what will grow. And maybe the place you want to start at today, if you're not sure where else to go, is just say, Lord, I want to be hungry. Give me the appetite I don't have. I've heard about this way of knowing you, this way of hearing from you, this way of connecting with you, and that seems really foreign to me. This guy talks about hearing from God or seeing God direct, and you're just not familiar with that. But I don't think Lucy was really like curating the dreams that God was putting together. She was just lying in bed, and God was saying, hey, I want you. I want to connect with you. I want to connect with you more than you want to connect with me even. I want you that much. So hunger, habits or hobbies, choose to take time with him first. One of the best ways to choose to take time with him first is to keep your phone second. It's one of the most likely ways that you'll be misled and misdirected, even if you've got a Bible app on your phone, because it'll lure you potentially away into other places. What if you just set a goal? I won't take time with others or my phone until I've taken time with Jesus. I'm just going to make my priorities clear that my habits will do that. Maybe you need a hobby that's going to get you barefoot on the beach or barefoot in the soil or standing out in a river or holding on to a frame of bees that'll get you excited. As I was coming into Duncan this morning, you know that heading south out of Duncan, there's some crazy hills.
crazy hills. There was two people cycling, and then I looked again, and the person in the back bike actually had a rope tied to their handlebars onto the seat post of the bike in front. I was like, okay, someone's working harder than someone else. And in the way of homies, we become a lot like the people we spend time with. And if you don't feel very hungry or close to God, I'd suggest you find someone who you believe is hungry and closer to God than you are and put a rope on them and spend some time with them. Find people you want to be with who are going to take you closer and into his presence. In closing, my suggestion is just a two-part prayer. Jesus, reveal to me something about you that will make us closer. Something about you that will make us closer. And Jesus, reveal to me something about me that will make us closer. And I believe he will answer that prayer. And I'm glad to pray with you as others are as well. Amen. Mm-hmm.